This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. You're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Oanda market analyst Kenny Fisher, and in the United States, Trader Nick. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Kenny.
Now, no prizes for guessing the big story of the day. It's the latest US CPI number. And, we've seen the dollar jump today after data shows that consumer prices have risen more than economists have expected, raising the likelihood that the Fed will hold interest rates higher for longer. Nick, how have markets reacted to this news?
Yeah, Johnny. So if we take a look at the overall reaction to the CPI report, dollar's up. You've got stocks lower, especially sensitive names in the stock market like the Russell. Smaller companies more sensitive to borrowing costs. Bitcoin's a little bit lower. Metals initially took a push lower and have bounced back. We'll talk more about that later. But the dollar index, definitely the winner on the day, moving higher overall, about 0.33%. Some of the most hard hit, of course, in that are going to be your commodity currencies like the Australian dollar. So we're seeing an interesting reaction. Again, this CPI report definitely came in hot and not what the market was looking for, right? So a 3% year-over-year inflation, that actually marks the fourth consecutive higher than previous inflation print. So we're seeing inflation rising persistently now, which complicates things for sure. I mean, the Fed going into this year, many were hoping for multiple rate cuts, and we've just had multiple in a row higher than expected inflation prints. Meanwhile, other central banks are actively cutting rates and looking to continue to do so. So that divergence makes for an interesting kind of dynamic in the currency market. You know, you've had some slight weakness in economic data recently out of the United States compared to forecasts, which I do want to discuss more about metals in a moment, because I think that, you know, with higher inflation and somewhat cooling economic data, that definitely keeps markets a little on edge about what could be coming next.
Nick, I think you hit it on the head when you said that the inflation report has complicated things for Jerome Powell. It's unclear what the Fed will be doing in the next few months, although it doesn't seem like they will be lowering rates. Powell testified to a Senate banking committee yesterday, and that was before the inflation report. And there wasn't much new, but he did say that the Fed is not in a hurry to lower rates. And I think even after this inflation report, how much more so will the Fed remain hawkish? I don't think they will have any plans to lower rates until they see inflation is falling. And as you mentioned, this report showed inflation going in the exact opposite direction, which was a bit of a surprise to the markets.
Yeah, it's also interesting, Kenny, when we think about that, the market itself, the stock market, of course, reacting to what you're saying, because if Powell is now between a rock and a hard place in terms of rate cuts, and it is worth mentioning, really, the rock and the hard place was yesterday in Congress. I watched probably about an hour and a half of it that I'll personally never get back in terms of my lost time. A bunch of, you know, politicians throwing stones at Jerome Powell is not my favorite thing to watch, but of course, it's part of the job of being a market commentator. Well, the summary is they sort of talked their book, all of them, and Jerome Powell was pressured pretty aggressively by the, of course, Republican majority there, but both sides were very much pressing him to cut rates, to relieve pressures. Some of the big things that they kept bringing up were housing demand and the problem for U.S. housing, as for most other countries in the Western world struggling with the same thing. You know, that was a big issue that kept being brought up. But there's this political pressure on Powell that I think is reaching an apex or a new height, I suppose, because now we've got both sides, you know, really throwing the book at Powell to cut rates. You've got Congress really wanting him to make a move there. And of course, Donald Trump, who has been very vocal about wanting lower interest rates from Powell and from committee. So, you know, there's that pressure. But the question is, does he give into it? And I think, honestly, I don't see him doing that. He's been very persistently saying that the job of the Fed is to keep an eye on both sides. But you can't help but wonder, with all of that pressure and, of course, his own job security, could that play any role? I mean, but it's hard to even think about cutting rates when we've got inflation back into the threes, a three handle hitting the wire today. And you do have some job weakness, but Johnny, it seems like now the story is, if you're going to get rate cuts this year, it doesn't seem like short term that's going to come from inflation. It sounds like it's going to either come from the labor market. And that brings me to a subject that I really want to talk about, which is metals.
Yeah, indeed. We've seen gold soaring yet again. And I was asking you just before we started the podcast why that would be.
Yeah. And so this was really the topic of the day for me that I want to discuss, which is I just kind of set this up where, okay, we've had JOLTS job numbers coming in a little bit light. Sure, we had a pretty good NFP report, but our services PMI data slipped a little bit. GDP growth numbers came in a little bit light. So what I wanted to get to here with this topic quickly about metals is, look, you've got gold on a day like today. Had you just told me, oh yeah, by the way, we're going to have a 3% CPI number compared to expectations. First glance, I would have said, oh, gold's going to probably crack that uptrend. And while it still could, the resilience here of gold and silver is pretty impressive. You've got gold down about 0.25% at the time of recording this on spot price compared to, you know, U.S. stocks, which are down, you know, 0.8 at one point, we're down 1%. The reason I point that out is that gold has been on a massive run to the upside. It is really performing well so far this year. And there's a number of reasons we could point to, but one that I think is lesser talked about, right? You've, of course, got tariff concerns, geopolitical concerns. That's why gold's going up. Well, I would add into the mix there the slight increase in possibility that a stagflation type environment is not that far away. If you get jobs data start to slide materially in an environment where inflation is not only sticky, but actually rising, that brings up the scenario of a stagflation type environment, in which case gold typically does decently well, where you have rising inflation, but the Fed can't fight that rising inflation with hikes because they're dealing with a soft labor market. If that's the type of environment that we're going into in 2025, gold and metals in general could look really interesting for the remainder of the year. And perhaps we have a back-to-back big, you know, up year. Last year, gold was up somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 to 30%. I mean, it was a really impressive year for gold. Could we possibly have round two this year?
So, Kenny, what did you take from Jay Powell's comments yesterday?
Well, something that stood out, Johnny, is what Nick had mentioned, that Powell was really tiptoeing, being pressured by the different parties in Congress. It was interesting because he was asked about tariffs, which has been really daily news with President Trump, and what would be their impact on the economy. What struck me was his very diplomatic line of, it's not the Fed's job to make or comment on tariff policy. So he did acknowledge that tariffs could lead to inflation, which I think any first-year economics student would agree with. But he was very careful to not really wade into the whole question of tariffs, which has caused a lot of division within the United States. I mean, the Republicans might be in favor of what Trump is doing, at least a lot of them, but there is concern that this is not the way to go about economic policy or trade policy. Powell is being very careful, as Nick had mentioned, and trying to stay neutral and apolitical.
Yeah, so one thing to add to that, Kenny, is just the dynamic between the Fed chair, of course, and Congress yesterday. What I thought was really interesting was the re-proposal from one of the congressional ladies. She was trying to get Powell to reconfirm that the Fed does, in fact, work for Congress. There was a little bit of drama there where they were poking Powell and saying that the Fed kind of thumbs their nose, if you will, to Congress a little bit. That was an interesting dynamic, but it does play into more of that broader theme that I was just discussing, which is this pressure, this back and forth between Powell and all these different members of government. At the end of the day, though, I do think that Powell will remain pretty steadfast in what he's done so far, which is continuing to lead his committee by data following. And there was also worth mentioning another gentleman on the in Congress there. I forget his name as well. He was also speaking very positively at Powell. He's speaking positively given the scenario between the Biden administration and the Trump administration that the Fed overall had done a pretty remarkable job in terms of getting towards a softer landing. Powell refused to claim victory as a soft landing, but the congressional gentleman was kind of claiming that for him. So we'll see. You know, there's supporters, there's people who are against it, but as kind of a bipartisan thing, we can only hope that the Fed continues to operate independently and watch data as it comes in.
Okay. Thank you very much, guys. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Great. Nice to be with you.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Kenny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.